And welcome to Next Reads, a podcast where we read the first chapter of a young adult or middle grade book to help you figure out what to read next. This podcast might contain language or situations some readers might find offensive or unsettling. The North Liberty Library does not necessarily endorse any author's views, but it does support the freedom of speech and the freedom to read. I'm your host, Kayla, the Youth and Teen Services Librarian at the North Liberty Library. My pronouns are she and her. Welcome, listeners. Today, I'm going to be reading from All My Rage by Saba Tahir. She is the number one best-selling author of An Ember in the Ashes series. Some random fun facts about her. She likes indie rock, garish socks, and all things nerd. I could tell you about all the awards she's received and how amazing her books are, but I love that fun fact. The book we're reading was published in 2022. It's a young adult book. Today is the first day of spring. It's Ostera, today being Tuesday, March 19th, for those of you listening in the future. It is also Women's History Month, which I don't think I've mentioned in my past episodes this month, but most of my books this month are written by women, about women, to promote Women's History Month. So without further ado, let's read the summary of All My Rage. Lahore, Pakistan, then. Mispa is a dreamer and storyteller, newly married to Tufik in an arranged marriage. After their young life is shaken by tragedy, they come to the United States and open the Clouds Rest Inn Motel, hoping for a new start. Juniper, California. Now, Salahuddin and Noor are more than best friends. They are family. Growing up as outcasts in the small desert town of Juniper, California, they understand each other the way no one else does. Until the fight, which destroys their bond with the swift fury of a star exploding. Now, Sal scrambles to run the family motel as his mother Mispa's health fails and his father loses himself to alcoholism. Noor, meanwhile, walks a harrowing tightrope, working at her wrathful uncle's liquor store while hiding the fact that she's applying to college so she can escape him and Juniper forever. When Sal's attempts to save the motel spiral out of control, he and Noor must ask themselves what friendship is worth and what it takes to defeat the monsters in their pasts and the one in their midst. This book is some fiction with knife-sharp narration. It's a love story and a tragedy. It's an infectious teenage fever dream. It's about family and forgiveness, love and loss. It crosses generations and continents. It is also Saba Tahir's debut contemporary fiction. It is a National Book Award winner and instant New York Times bestseller. For those of you in Iowa, it is also one of the Iowa High School Book Awards for 23-24. Some content warnings: All My Rage contains the following content: drug and alcohol addiction, physical abuse, Islamophobia, mentions of repressed sexual assault, tense exchanges with law enforcement, and death. Please take care of yourself first. Without further ado, let's read the first chapter. And there's an epigraph. Part 1. The art of losing isn't hard to master. So many things seem filled with the intent to be lost that their loss is no disaster. Elizabeth Bishop, One Art. Chapter 1. Mispa. June. Then. Lahore, Pakistan. The clouds over Lahore were purple as a gossip's tongue the day my mother told me I would wed. After she delivered the news, I found my father on the veranda. He sipped a cup of tea and surveyed the storm looming above the kite-spattered skyline. Change her mind, I wanted to scream. Tell her I'm not ready. Instead, I stood at his side, a child again, waiting for him to take care of me. I did not have to speak. My father looked at me, and he knew. Come now, little butterfly. He turned his moth-brown eyes to mine and patted my shoulder. You are strong like me. You will make the best of it. And at last, you'll be free of your mother. He smiled, only half joking. The monsoon rain swept over Lahore a few minutes later, sending chickens and children squawking for cover, drenching the cement floor of our home. I bent my head to the ground in prayer regardless. Let my future husband be gentle, I thought, remembering the bruises on my cousin, Amana, who married a light-haired English businessman against her parents' wishes. Let him be a good man. I was 18. Full of fear, I should have prayed instead for a man unbroken. Chapter 2. Sal. February. Now. Juniper, California. It's 6:37 a.m., and my father doesn't want me to know how drunk he is. Sal. Are you listening? He calls me Sal instead of Salahuddin, so I don't hear the slur in his words. Hangs on to our Civic steering wheel like it's going to steal his wallet and bolt. In the ink-black morning, all I see of Abu's eyes are his glasses. The taillights of traffic going into school reflect off the thick square lenses. He had them so long that they're hipster now. A desert howler shakes the car, one of those three-day winds that rampage through your skin and colonize your ventricles. I hunch deep in my fleece, breath clouding. I will be there, Abu says. Don't worry. Okay, Sal? My nickname on his lips is all wrong. It's like, by saying it, he's trying to make me feel like he's a friend, instead of a mess masquerading as my father. If Amma was here, she would clear her throat and enunciate Salahuddin, the precise pronunciation, a gentle reminder that she named me for the famous Muslim general, and I better not forget it. You said you'd go to the last appointment, too, I tell Abu. Dr. Rothman called last night to remind me, Abu says. You don't have to come if you have the writing club or soccer. Soccer season is over, and I quit the newspaper last semester. I'll be at the appointment. Amma's not taking care of herself, and someone needs to tell Dr. Rothman, preferably in a coherent sentence. I watch the words hit him, sharp little stones. Abu guides the car to the curb in front of Juniper High. A bleached blonde head buried in the parka materializes from the shadows of C Hall. Ashley. She saunters past the flagpole, through the crowds of students, and toward the Civic. The pale stretch of her legs is courageous for the 20-degree weather. Also distracting. Ashley is close enough to the car that I can see her purple nail polish. Abu hasn't spotted her. He and Amma never said I can't have a girlfriend, but in the same way that giraffes are born knowing how to run, I was born with the innate understanding that having a girlfriend while still living with my parents is verboten. Abu digs his fingers into his eyes. His glasses have carved a shiny red dent on his nose. He slept in them last night, on the recliner. Amma was too tired to notice, or she didn't want to notice. Puta, son. Ashley knocks on the window. Her parka is unzipped enough to show the insubstantial Welcome to Tatooine shirt beneath. She must be freezing. 2 years ago, Abu's eyebrows would have been in his hair. He would have said, Who is this, Butar? His silence feels more brutal, like glass shattering in my head. How will you get to the hospital? Abu asks. Should I pick you up? Just get Amma there. I say, I'll find a ride. Okay, but text me if my cell's not working. Because you actually have to pay the phone company, Abu? The one thing he's in charge of and still can't do. It's usually Amma hunched over stacks of bills, asking the electric company, the hospital, the cable company, if we can pay in installments, muttering, Ulu de Pafe, son of owls, when they say no. I lean toward him, take a shallow sniff, and almost gag. It's like he took a bath in Old Crow and threw on some more as aftershave. I'll see you at 3, I say. Take a shower before she wakes up. She'll smell it on you. Neither of us say that it doesn't matter, that even if Alma smells the liquor, she would never say anything about it. Before Abu responds, I'm out, grabbing my tattered journal from where it fell out of my backpack, slamming the car door, eyes watering from the cold. Ashley tucks herself under my arm. Breathe. 5 seconds in. 7 seconds out. If she feels my body tense up, she doesn't let on. Warm me up. Ashley pulls me down for a kiss, and the ash of her morning cigarette fills my nostrils. 5 seconds in. 7 seconds out. Cars honk. A door thuds nearby, and for a moment, I think it's Abu. I think I will feel the weight of his disapproval. Have some tamiz, Butar. I see it in my head. I wish for it. But when I break from Ashley, the Civic's blinker's on, and he's pulling into traffic. If Noor was here instead of Ashley, she'd have side-eyed me and handed me her phone. Not everyone has a dad jerk. Call him and eat crow. Ock, ock. She's not here, though. Noor and I haven't spoken for months. Ashley steers me toward campus and launches into a story about her 2-year-old daughter, Kaya. Her words swim into each other, and there's a glassiness to her eyes that reminds me of Abu at the end of a long day. I pull away. I met Ashley junior year, after Amma got sick, and I dropped most of my honors classes for regular curriculum. Last fall, after the fight between Noor and me, I spent a lot of time alone. I could have hung out with guys on my soccer team, but I hated how much of them threw around words like raghead and bitch and apu. Ashley had just broken up with her girlfriend and started coming to my games, waiting for me in her old black Mustang with its primered hood. We'd shoot the shit. One day, to my surprise, she asked me out. I knew it would be a disaster, but at least it would be a disaster I chose. She calls me her boyfriend, even though we've only been together for 2 months. It took me 3 weeks to even work up the nerve to kiss her. But when she's not high, we laugh and talk about Star Wars or Saga or this show Crown of Fates we both love. I don't think about Amma so much, or the motel, or Noor. Mr. Malik. Principal Ernst, a bowling pin of a man, with a nose like a bruised eggplant, appears through the herds of students headed toward class. Behind Ernst is Security Officer Derek Higgins, a.k.a. Darth Derek, so-called because he's an oppressive mouth breather who sweeps around junior high like it's his personal Star Destroyer. Ashley escapes with a glare from Ernst, but this is the second time I pissed him off in a week, so I get a skeletal finger digging into my chest. You've been missing class. Not anymore. Detention if you're late. First and only warning. Don't touch me, I want to say. But that would invite Darth Derek's intervention, and I don't feel like a billy club in the face. Ernst moves on, and Ashley reaches for me again. I stuff my hands in the pockets of my hoodie, the stiffness in my chest easing at the feel of cotton instead of skin. Later, I'll write about this. I try to imagine the crack of my journal opening, the steady, predictable percussion of my pen hitting paper. Don't look like that, Ashley says. Like what? Like you wish you were anywhere else. A direct response would be a lie, so I hedge. Hey, I have to go to the bathroom, I tell her. I'll see you later. I'll wait for you. Nah, go on, I'm already walking away. Don't want you to get in trouble with Ernst. Juniper High is massive, but not in a shiny TV high school kind of way. It's a bunch of long cinder block buildings with doors on each end and nothing but dirt between them. The gym looks like an airplane hangar. Everything is dusty, sandblasted white. The only green thing around here is our mascot, a hulking roadrunner painted near the front office and the bathroom walls, which according to Noor, are the precise color of goose shit. The bathroom is empty, but I duck into the stall anyway. I wonder if every dude with a girlfriend finds himself hiding from her next to a toilet at some point. If I'd been hanging out with Noor instead of Ashley, I'd already be sitting in English class because she insists on being on time to everything. Boots scrape against dirty tiles as someone else enters. Through the crack in the stall door, I make out Atticus, Jamie Jensen's boyfriend. He enjoys soccer, white rappers, and relaxed fit racism. I need 10, Atticus says, but I only have $100. A lanky figure comes into view. Art Brittman, tall and pale like Atticus, but hollowed out by too much bad weed. He wears his typical red plaid and black work boots. I've known Art since kindergarten. Even though he hangs out with the white power kids, he gets along with everyone, probably because he supplies most of Juniper High with narcotics. 100 gets you 5, not 10. Art has a smile in his voice because he is truly the nicest drug dealer who ever lived. I give you what you can pay for, Addy. Come on, Art. I gotta eat too, bro. Art digs into his pocket and holds a bag of small white pills just out of Atticus's reach. $100 for that? No wonder Art's smiling all the time. Atticus curses and hands over his cash. A few seconds later, he and the pills are gone. Art looks over at my stall. Who's in there? You got the shits? Or are you spying? It's me, Art. Sal. For a guy who careens from one illegal activity to another, Art is uncannily oblivious. Sal! He shouts, hiding from Ashley. His laughter echoes and I wince. She's gone. You can come out. I consider silence. If a dude is dropping anchor in the bathroom, it's rude to have a conversation with him. Everyone knows that. Apparently not Art. I grimace and step out to wash my hands. You doing okay, man? Art adjusts his beanie in the mirror, blonde hair poking out like the fingers of a wayward plant. Ashley told me your mom's up shit creek. Ashley and Art are cousins. And even though they're white, and I stupidly thought white people ignored their extended family, they're close. Closer than I am to my cousin, who lives in Los Angeles and insists all the homeless people should just get jobs. Usually, while he drinks wine out of a ceramic tumbler he ordered because a Pixagram ad told him it would save the dolphins. Yeah, I say to Art, my mom's not feeling great. Cancer sucks, man. She doesn't have cancer. When my Nana Ethel was sick, it was miserable. Art says, one day she was fine, the next she looked like a corpse. I thought she was a goner. She's fine now, though. And she's got painkiller prescriptions she never uses, so that's lucrative. Art's laugh echoes off the walls. You good? Because I could give you an old friend's discount. I'm good. Not even tempted. One shit-faced person in the house is enough. I hurry away just as the bell rings. The dirt quad empties out quicker than the water down a drain. As I turn the corner to the English wing, Noor appears from the other side. The sun hits the windows, painting her braided hair a dozen colors. I think of the pictures she has all over her room at her shithead uncle's house, taken by a massive space telescope she told me about once. That's what her hair is like, black and red and gold, the heart of space lit from within. Her head is down and she doesn't see me, instead intent on racing the bell. We reach Mrs. Michael's door at the same time. Noor's face looks different, and I realize after a second that she's wearing makeup. She pulls out her headphones, hidden in her hoodie, and a tinny song spills from them. I recognize it because Amma loves it. The Wanderer. Johnny Cash and U2. Hey, I say. She gives me a nod, the way you do when you stop seeing someone because you got your own shit to worry about. Then she ducks into the classroom, a blur of beaded bracelets, dark jeans, and the cheap, astringent soap her uncle sells at his liquor shop. For a second, the fight hangs between us. Specter versions of ourselves 6 months ago, facing each other at a campground in Vail Meadows. Noor confessing that she was in love with me, kissing me. Me shoving her away, telling her I didn't feel the same, spewing every hurtful thing I could think of because her kiss was a blade tearing up something inside. Noor staring at me like I transformed into an angry kraken. She had a pine cone in her hands. I kept waiting for her to peg me with it. The door slams behind her, and I grab the handle to follow her. Then I stop. The bell rings. The hall clock behind me plods on, each tick a dumbbell slamming to the floor. A minute passes. I read and reread the sign on the door for a writing contest that Mrs. Michaels has been bugging me to enter. But even though I walked into AP English every day for 5 months, today I can't make myself do it. I can't sit across the room from Noor, knowing she'll never tease me about my llama socks again, or kick my ass in Night Ops 4, or come over on Saturday morning and eat paratha with me and Amma. I tried to remember Amma's smile when she was well and would pick me up after class. The way she lit up and asked me about my life, like I had climbed Everest instead of merely survived another day at school. Mira putar, undaja, she'd tell me now. My son, go inside. I sigh, and as I reach for the door, a bony hand grabs my arm. Mr. Malik. The handle slips from my grip. Ernst's pale green eyes bore into me, daring me to snap, or wanting me to. What did I say earlier? He asks. Don't. I jerk away from him. Shut up, Salahuddin. Don't touch me. I wait for him to paw at me instead, suspend me, call Darth Derek. Instead, he lets me go and shakes his head. A man sternly disappointed in a rebellious dog, giving the leash a little yank. Incorrect, Ernst says. I said, first and only warning. Detention. My office, 3:00. And that is the end of our chapters for the day. The next chapter is from Noor's perspective, so we'll get to see her side of the story as well. But what do you think will happen next? We know what the big fight is. So do you think they're going to make up? We know from the summary that they have to run the hotel together. So how do you think that's going to go? How do you think Amma is going to do? She's very sick and that's affecting him very harshly, you can see, and his dad. We got a little bit from Mispa's point of view in that first chapter, but just seeing how that develops would be really interesting. So what do you guys think will happen next? I hope you found this chapter intriguing enough to check out. If not, there's always another book just waiting to be discovered. You can check this book out as a physical book in our library, as well as a digital book as an ebook or e-audiobook. If you need any help with your library card or Libby, let us know. We're always happy to help. Please check the show notes for some read-alikes, and thank you for listening. Join me next time for another Next Reads.